You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are Dr. Mike, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galuski.
Miss a show, miss a segment, and miss a guest, miss a topic, RadioMD.com. At your leisure, RadioMD.com. We're brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. Dr. Arthur Perry at 34 past the hour. How is it we're eating fewer calories but getting fatter? Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense, Dr. Mike. What's up with this?
From 1984 to 2004, we started eating about 315 calories more per day. And since then, the surveys have said we're eating 71 less calories a day, yet women are staying as obese as they were, and men are getting more obese. And we report we're actually increasing physical activity 1% per year. So something doesn't make sense. So either the survey is wrong, or we will soon see a downturn in the obesity rates, or there's something else going on that we don't understand. But in fact, we really don't understand why this is happening, if you will, or what the discrepancy is. People think that it's maybe people aren't telling the truth on what they're fully eating in these surveys.
I would tend to believe that. I would tend to believe that above everything else. They're really not being totally honest on what they're eating.
It is the national health and, if you will, the National Health and Nutrition Survey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would
so
be.
This is a survey that's done every couple of years. It's routine, and it asks the questions of a large enough number of people that I wouldn't expect there to be, if you will, an increase in discrepancies from the two years previous. That is, I don't think people are now lying about it where they didn't lie about it before, unless they're trying to be more socially acceptable, meaning saying, I'm eating healthier now, when they really aren't.
Yeah, something doesn't make sense. This makes sense to you this weekend, beginning this weekend in New York City. Places, fast food restaurants, the donut place, the big donut place, the big Big Mac place, they will no longer put sugar in your coffee over 16 ounces. You can do it yourself, and you can add as much sugar as you want. Does that make sense to you? I mean, with anything over 6 ounces, somebody behind the counter won't put the sugar in for you. But you can go over to the counter, put as much sugar in it as you want. Do you get the logic with that?
Yeah, I actually hope that it really gets reality, because what they're saying is very, very important. That is, what they're saying is, we can't do this for you because it's banned. And why is it banned? Because it's not healthy for you. That's why Mayor Bloomberg banned it. So there's a real reason for it being banned. And so you're saying, well, if someone else is telling me that it's bad, and it's actually a regulation, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe there's a reason behind it, and maybe look it up. So I actually am much more positive about this than you are, Joe.
I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, if you're not getting it from the barista, you'd go over to the... I guess it's a conditioning thing. I don't know what to think about it.
Well, hopefully you won't go over. Hopefully you'll say, hey, if someone else is telling me I shouldn't be doing it, maybe I shouldn't be doing it.
What if somebody wants a little sweetness in their coffee, though? You have an alternative?
Well, the sugar substitutes are... it seems they're much healthier for you. Remember, what a high blood sugar does is it not only satisfies your hunger over time, it releases dopamine and it gets you addicted to sugar. So you end up addicted to it. But what a high blood sugar does is it changes your proteins. So hemoglobin A1C is the measure of type 2 diabetes that we do. And why do we measure that way? Because it's a protein change, hemoglobin with the sugar in the A1C position. No reason to know that other than all it means is the hemoglobin has a sugar on it, which causes the hemoglobin to not release oxygen, to be a dysfunctional protein. And that's what it does to a lot of proteins. The key proteins it does it to are ones that are lining your arteries that hold the cells together. And when it gets on those cells, which it does, it causes those, that grout between the cells that holds those cells together, to be dysfunctional grout. So you end up with holes there. But you don't allow yourself holes there. You repair those holes and you put in cholesterol as the repair. Well, that's where you get atherosclerosis, or hardening of the arteries, and that's why diabetics and diabetics with hypertension get it, because the blood pressure comes down on the weakened grout, bango, causes a hole in it, you repair it with that cholesterol, and that's the start of atherosclerosis. And over years, the inflammation behind it that saturated fat and trans fats cause, they stimulate those genes for inflammation. Those things build up plaque, and over years, that's how you get hardening of the arteries, that's how you get memory dysfunction, that's how you get impotence, that's how you get wrinkles, that's how you get heart attacks and strokes.
What if they just took restaurant...
So it all started with sugar.
Yeah, what if they just...
That's why the sugar ban.
Why,
it isn't
what?
Just calories, it isn't just obesity. It's because it actually causes a problem.
Well, it's not a ban because it's still in the store. Why don't they just take the sugar out of the store and not have sugar available at all?
Well, I think Mayor Bloomberg, you know, there is a use for small amounts of sugar.
Well, okay.
We use it for an essential piece of nutrition. So there is a important point to having a little sugar, but not very much.
All right, okay. The CDC is warning health officials of a deadly new virus. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, there are two CDC warnings. We covered one of them, CPE, carbapenem resistant enterobacteria. And these are bacteria that seem to be resistant to almost every antibiotic we have. And so that's why they're a danger, if you will. And they're showing up in hospitals and nursing homes across the country. They're killing 50% of the people who, in fact, get them. That's a huge, humongous problem. 50%, if you will, dying from this, if you will, this bacteria, if you get an illness from it. And the problem is that this bacteria has learned how to pass on this resistance to antibiotics to other bacteria. And so we've got to isolate that, and that's why we're trying so hard, and the CDC has put out this warning to isolate it. Well, they also had a warning about a deadly new virus. It's only sickened 14 people, but it's killed 8 of them. The infection has started in the Mideast and has moved to Great Britain. It's a coronavirus. It's the same family of viruses as the common cold and the deadly outbreak of SARS that occurred in Asia in 2003. So it's not the SARS virus. It's similar to those found in bats. And it is, if you get a low respiratory illness within 10 days of coming back from the Arabian Peninsula or neighboring countries, you should be evaluated. It's a severe acute respiratory illness with fever, cough, shortness of breath, and immediately get treatment, supportive care, oxygen, and even the antivirals appear to help with this. But it is a virus that is very strong, and if you don't get help from it, it can kill you pretty fast.
All right, coming up right after the break.
So if you come back from the Arabian Peninsula with this, take heed.
All right, very good. Thank you, Dr. Mike. Up after the break, it's called Straight Talk from the Docs. Joining us will be Dr. Arthur Perry and Dr. Mike Royson. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. And don't forget another Real Age tip before the end of the show and end of the hour here today. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Royson on Radio MD. Stay well.